Hello, this is Lawrence with a quick introduction. This episode was recorded in 2018, so it's shockingly modern by our standards, but of course our references are still going to be very out of date. Also, we're changing up the format a little bit. We're still going to have a great many episodes about shitty old-time radio dramas, but we are going to also allow the other two hosts, Ronald and Rahul, to pick things, and we will be covering them as well. This marks the first of this new format, where Rahul has selected Terminator 3. Please enjoy this episode of Bad Time Radio. My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio. Tonight, we're talking about Terminator 3, which is certainly
pretty much one of the greatest movies ever made, which is why I would like to talk about why I selected it for today.
Wait, is that the full name? Terminator 3?
Judgment Day.
Thank you.
That's not even the... I actually did not know what the last part was.
It's Rise of the Machines, which is kind of a spoiler, frankly.
Is it?
I mean...
Wait, Terminator 2 is Judgment Day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Which is weird, because Terminator 2 doesn't have Judgment Day in it.
What's Terminator 4?
Genesis. I
mean, no,
that's
5.
Salvation.
Yes, which is also a solid movie. I felt like it was totally underrated. But anyway, getting back to Terminator 3 took us totally off topic.
Talking about Terminator.
This is serious shit. Okay? So, there's actually a lot of nostalgic value for Terminator 3, given that I first fell in love with that movie in like the end of high school. What I really, really liked about it, what spoke to my heart in that movie was the relentless pace and the lack of meaningful plot, I feel. And the total destruction and eventual annihilation of the entire planet.
That kind of does define you as a person.
Well, I don't know about that, but I felt like a lot of movies aren't willing to take it to that level.
I've often said that the only reason we're still alive is that Raul doesn't have access to nukes.
Often do you say that. Often and loudly.
Well, anyway, so... Yeah, I just really, really deeply enjoy the fact that the entire movie is like one large chase scene, basically. You know, they're hunted by this implacable foe, and
that's a theme for you.
It kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that a theme of all human life? I mean, we're all being hunted by death, which is pretty implacable, right, Ronald?
True.
Yeah, so, you know...
How true.
In a sense, that movie is basically a metaphor for life. Right. And I saw myself reflecting in that metaphor.
The TX is age.
A lot more attractive than I imagined it to be.
It's always trying to disguise itself in front of police officers.
Make its boobs bigger for no reason.
There was a reason. There's a reason for every action.
Well, okay, what was the reason?
Because you were watching it.
But the thing is, it didn't even... I'll talk about this later. All right, but there was really no reason for her to even pull over in the first place.
No, there wasn't.
So, anyways.
I mean, she wanted the gun, but I don't know.
I'll talk about that.
If only
when
there
we talk
was
about
some other
synopsis.
Way to get guns in America.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she was reorienting herself to where she was, you know, because she was a little sluggish in the beginning.
Yeah, we can make up all kinds of reasons what she did might have made sense.
But the point is, the reason I like the movie is because of its relentless pacing and the fact that it felt very... clear, like a crystallized purpose.
Okay, here's the real reason Rahul likes the movie. Because there's this one scene where there's this truck with like 10 tires, and it just demolishes a building.
That is very true. Okay, so Rahul enjoys it for its relentless pacing and sort of laser-like focus on delivering the action, and also because, again, there's a scene of some of the most amazing vehicular carnage that has ever been committed to film. It's just astonishing.
It's actually pretty amazing. I mean,
you know, I thought the movie would have actually aged, but I feel like it didn't age a day.
Yeah, probably because very little CGI.
Yeah, and it was very cleanly done. Like, you have to admit that the plot, such as it was, I'm not saying it had like an amazing plot, but it had its points and it stuck to them. They were being chased by the TX. They ran away.
Yeah.
You know, there were some...
It doesn't provide a lot of emotional context, but I'll talk about that too.
So anyways, I guess we should talk about how
what we thought of this movie. I feel that it, I mean, if you want to watch it, it's fine. It's not, you're not going to have a bad time. It's pretty entertaining for what it is. It's just sort of everything it does is sort of done better in another Terminator movie. So, although the sheer scale of the destruction in the vehicle chase scene is, again, that's pretty incredible. You, if nothing else, you should look that scene up on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I think, I haven't seen Salvation, but for me, this is pretty clearly, you know, out of the four Terminator movies I've seen, this is the third, you know, best, second worst. It's weird because it's perfectly, you know, one's the best for me, then two, then three, and then four.
Hmm.
Five, actually.
Whatever. Yeah. Salvation, yeah, I haven't seen it.
Salvation's better than Genesis, probably. Oh, yes, I didn't watch absolutely. Genesis. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I can't.
And it might be better than this one.
Maybe.
In terms of just, like,
story. In terms of acting, plot,
yeah, maybe not. Maybe not action though. So I will say that this movie was really fun to watch. Always is. I've seen it a few times now. It's definitely got You're some welcome. amazing action sequences. Well, I saw it in theaters when it came out.
Ooh, I saw it in theaters when I came out.
Ooh, I have money for movie tickets.
This was like in the 90s.
It was
like early 2000s. What was it? 2003.
I don't know, it came out when we were in high school, I think. I know Raul, he came over, like, super excited, and he's like, you guys, we gotta check out this movie, and then he slammed a pirated DVD to our player.
Have that.
But yeah, it was probably way after it came out, knowing Raul.
03, yeah.
So, yeah, 03. Anyways, so, you know, I was in middle school at the time. And I don't know, I remember at the time thinking it was pretty cool, not really thinking about it too much, but since then I've watched it a few times. I definitely really enjoy it. I don't think it's, like, amazingly written, but I do think that it's choreographed pretty well. And honestly, the chase seems amazing. There's, like, a lot of not taking a breath. There's very few breaks in the movie. So it keeps your attention, and it's pretty short. That's positive for me.
I was legitimately amazed when I saw that this thing's, like, under 100 minutes. That's just almost unthinkable for a blockbuster today. They're always at least 2 hours and often more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the amount of money they spent on each scene, it's got to be, like, not very plausible for them to go much longer than 90 minutes. So.
Yeah. So anyways, I guess let's try to do a plot summary. Now, this is going to be slightly hampered. Obviously, we're not going to let Raul do it because he's just... He'll be like, and then this scene happens, and it was awesome, and then the next scene happens, and it's awesome, and you guys are going
to
believe
this.
The next
scene
is even more...
That you're giving to me.
That's just sort of my generic, excited nerd voice.
So I'd like to chime in that it cost $187 million to make, which I feel like is a lot of money in 03, and it made $433 million.
Oh, so it was a successful movie. I guess it makes sense that they made Salvation.
Yeah, it was riding off the success of... Terminator 2.
So Terminator 2 made a gross of $520 million unadjusted for inflation. So that was like in 80, whatever.
No, it was like 92.
92, okay.
Holy shit, I was right.
Terminator only cost $6.4 million, to make?
Well, yeah. Terminator is sort of a masterclass in like how to do a lot with very little. I love that movie so much.
Terminator's great.
I think it's kind of the best, my favorite slasher movie, really, because it has almost the same feel as, like, final scene.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 is kind of the same progression as Alien to Aliens. Like, the first one is more, like, minimalistic and more like a thriller, whereas the second one is, like, this huge action set piece.
Interesting.
And tries to, like,
once it really
span
caught on.
The universe, yeah. So,
and then like,
and I think they're both James Cameron too. So you know,
and then
that might
in both situations, both series just sort of went off. Well, Aliens 3, I thought was terrible.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like
God
it.
God awful.
It's sort of going through a thing where at least the people I follow on Twitter will try to argue that it's good, and then Alien Resurrection is terrible, and I haven't seen Alien Covenant. The Alien vs. Predator movies very bad. Although the second one does have Rickety Cricket in it.
It does?
Yes! Wait. He gets menaced by aliens if you really wanted to see Rickety Cricket.
You know, I feel like I've seen that movie.
I feel like...
But it was probably before Sunny, so...
Is that the one where... No, I'm thinking of Alien Covenant.
Oh, and it also has a scene where just a bunch of aliens put their embryos in a bunch of pregnant women who then explode. I haven't seen that. Huh. I'm just going up. I know Rickety Cricket's in it because I saw the climax.
Maybe I haven't seen Alien vs. Is that Alien vs. Predator 2?
It's Requiem, yeah. Requiem.
No, anyway, I have seen that.
Yeah.
I just. They're bad, so I don't remember them.
Yeah. Anyways, doubling back, let's summarize this.
Let's summarize this. So, it starts off with. Actually, what is the first scene?
It starts with Nick Stahl. Well, the first scene, as I noted, is an explosion because this movie really loves to deliver explosions.
Yeah, but what was the explosion?
I think it was just showing Judgment Day while John Connor was monologuing.
He's talking to himself.
Yeah, right. He's explaining that fate, some people say you can change your fate, which is the whole point of the second movie. And he's like, no, you can't. It's going to happen anyways. And he explains that he's been living essentially like the Incredible Hulk in the Incredible Hulk series, you know, never staying
off the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he explains he's been living off the grid since the events of Terminator 2 when, you know, a Terminator came back and tried to kill him.
How did he come back from Terminator 2?
He didn't die.
He didn't die, but that was in the future? Oh, he was a kid, right.
He was a kid,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, in Terminator 2, he's a kid, and Arnold, as the T-101 or whatever, comes back to save him from the T-1000. And then in this movie, a bunch of people around him die, but then they think they stop Judgment Day. But then they find out in this movie that Judgment Day is inevitable, but that's actually a little bit later. So, John Connor is explaining how he's off the grid, and he doesn't, like, take any... He doesn't have a bank account, he doesn't, like, have any real job, so he just, like, works... for cash under the table.
Well, you see him working construction at one point.
Just like sledgehammering some stuff. Yeah. And,
which Raul commented, there's a machine that can do that. And I said, well, what you got to understand is he's not actually doing construction. What he's doing is some weird humiliation porn.
Penitence, yeah. Okay, so he's doing that. And then Claire Danes is shown, and she's a veterinarian.
I think she's a veterinary assistant, because at one point the guy's like, get the doctor, right. And the guy, she's like, the doctor's asleep, you got me, and it's a hairball.
That's true, and that's pretty much for no reason.
I guess just so that she has an excuse. Yeah, why isn't he stealing drugs from a clinic, like a real clinic?
Yeah, no, well, I think it's because it's a clinic would maybe be open, and maybe it's just the first thing he saw. I really don't understand why she was made to be an assistant besides sexist social norms in 2003.
Yeah.
That... I don't know.
I mean, it seems like maybe...
Why was she not just a veterinarian?
Oh, if this movie had gotten...
Go ahead.
If this movie had gotten a sequel, perhaps she would have been shown doctoring people up.
Absolutely, but that would make sense that she was a veterinarian.
Not a veterinary assistant, you're right. Yeah. There's no reason at all for her to be an assistant, aside from maybe she's too young to be a veterinarian.
It's just like a throwaway line, like, oh, the doctor will be in at 5:30 or whatever.
Yeah, you could change that so easy. Just like, just stop. I told you, stop bothering me so late. I should be in bed.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, I have no idea why that that detail was included, but it's relatively unimportant. So, John Connor breaks into this veterinary's clinic to take some painkillers after he crashes on his motorcycle to avoid a deer, and he just takes a bunch of phenobarbital and passes out.
But it should be noted that the reason he crashed was because of his own reckless actions while he was monologuing in his head.
Oh my god, I don't know if that's true, but I want it to be true too bad.
Because he was speeding down the highway.
He's just driving along thinking, boy, fate sure sucks. And then suddenly he misses his deer. Because
he was speeding up. He's like, I don't know, going on about fate.
I think he's just trying to challenge his fate. So anyways, you can read into that however you want, but he breaks into this clinic and takes some phenobarbital and passes out. And Claire Danes, who's the veterinary assistant,
and finds, for some reason, is the one who gets called when they get broken into, as opposed to the police or a security guard. And this has happened before, too.
It's pretty unclear who called.
I think there must have been an alarm, but for some reason it got funneled to her, which is so dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
I mean, she turns out to be kind of a badass who can take care of herself, but it's still... The assistant should not have to deal with that.
So she goes in and she finds a passed out Nick Stahl, a.k.a. John Connor, and he wakes up as she's, like, calling the police, and he's like, don't do that, and he pulls a gun on her. But it turns out that it was a paintball gun, and she steals it from him.
And she also makes a joke about how he accidentally drank some stuff that they used to neuter dogs.
And tricks him and puts him in a cage, pretty much.
And while this is happening, we've also seen the female Terminator,
And we, more importantly to me, we've seen the female Terminators, you know. Assets.
Breasts.
Yes. Which she can apparently inflate and deflate at will.
Well, yeah, she can turn in any shape she wants.
It's not a very violent movie, so not showing her boobs probably would have made this a PG-13.
Well, it wasn't R, right? They throw some fucks out.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't remember seeing her boobs.
Well, I remember it because, one, I never forget some boobs, because, you know.
Oh, when she's walking to the car in the beginning.
Yeah. Yes. And, okay. Two, I remember they've got the shot set up so that they're showing her, you know, approaching, and there's a strategically placed rear view mirror.
Yeah, blocks her crotch, but not her boobs.
Yeah, and then they've got her hair draped, but her hair down across her chest, and traditionally a way boob movies used to hide boobs, but they don't actually hide them. So I thought it was really weird that they've got two separate outs, the rearview mirror and the hair, to hide them.
Well, I mean, it was clearly strategic to show during the movie.
I guess, but it was such an unsatisfying shot, you know? Yeah.
I mean, for
I never thought I'd say this about nudity, because I'm a fan of basically all nudity, any gender. As long as the person's of age, I'm kind of interested in seeing them naked. Not even as a sexual thing, just... I don't know.
It's a sexual thing.
Fair enough.
I mean, for a rated R movie, it made good money, so they probably could have...
Yeah, but my point is, I remember thinking you could cut this boob, and the movie would lose nothing.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
Or add more. They could add more.
Because I think back in the day, rated R wasn't nearly as much of a stigma as it is now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, like back in 2003, you could get into a theater that was rated R, like, no problem. They never checked. Now they check. Mm. I don't remember what changed. I know that there was some inciting incident, but...
I have no memory.
Anyways.
I remember once Brandon... You were there for this. When we tried to sneak into Hostel, and we were doing all of this crazy nonsense, like using our phones to look around corners and shit to see if the manager was coming.
I do remember that.
And then you guys ended up having to sit through a PG movie because we were convinced the managers were onto it. And me and Bianca saw Hostel, and it was just... I kind of think you guys got the better end of that deal. Because we had
we saw some,
Hostel.
Like, funny movie or something, or I don't even remember. Yeah.
Anyways.
Right. Yeah, I remember very strongly, like, we're like, we can't let the manager see our head out. So we had flip phones at the time, and we'd stick that out beyond the edge and turn the camera function on so we could look around the edge.
Like, dude, that's some spy shit.
Although, presumably, if the manager had been walking along and seen a flip phone and a person sort of...
He probably would have been more suspicious.
Yeah, than of us just walking into the goddamn movie.
Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah, so they do show the TX who portals in from the future and is naked because that's apparently how
can't take.
They've established that
they can't take inorganic matter.
But then the TX violates that so thoroughly that it
doesn't really make any. I guess the only thing I can think is the liquid metal is somehow organic because the T-1000 did it too.
Yeah, but then the T-1000 had very specific rules about how. Because the liquid metal technically counted as organic, everything it had to be made out of liquid metal, which is why it couldn't have, like, complicated machine parts.
Oh.
Yeah, remember, there's that whole scene where they're explaining how it works. And then she's just got laser cannons and shit.
But, I mean, there's also, like, the T-101 is just surrounded by flesh, and he's got complex machine parts inside of him, so...
I guess, but...
It seems like as long as it's, like, surrounded by some kind of organic matter, it... Whatever, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It really
but.
Annoys me. That is one of the scenes in this movie that really annoy me, because the Terminator movies up until this point had fairly consistent... I mean, it was sort of stupid logic, and they hand-waved it away in the first one when the guy's like, I don't know, I can't explain the rules, I didn't build the fucking thing, which is one of the like best screenwriter lines I've ever heard, because it's just like, just go along with this and we'll show you a cool movie, and we're going to tell you that. But anyways... But this one, the rules have been fairly consistent. They sort of bullshitted them a little with the T-1000, but...
Well, in this movie, they don't even bother explaining, like...
Why the hell that thing
they're naked, or... I mean,
well,
realistically, her clothes were made out of... Her clothes were made out of her stuff, so there's no reason for her to be naked.
But yeah.
I guess she doesn't care. Okay, so anyways, she pops up and is naked, and she goes up to this woman who's in her car and is like... Whoa, are you okay? And she steals the car. And then she just starts driving like a maniac, which this part I don't really get because, it does kind of set the tone for her being not at all subtle throughout the rest of the movie. She doesn't try to hide what she's doing at all, pretty much, because she knows she's unstoppable. But, like, 5 seconds after she does this, a cop pulls her over And for some reason, she does pull over.
And then she makes her boobs bigger, which I thought meant she was going to try to seduce the guy.
Right.
But
instead, she just immediately says that she likes his gun and kills him, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess...
Because it doesn't show her, right? It cuts away. But you assume that... Because she has the gun later, so you assume that she kills him.
Oh, you're skipping one of my favorite things in the movie. So she whips out a cell phone that she stole from the lady and dials a number, and then she starts making modem noises into the phone. So
yeah, she's phone freaking it.
Yeah, she's phone freaking decades too late, and that somehow lets her know like where the people she needs to kill
I just thought of something. She could have been talking to Skynet.
Oh, that probably is true, but she's still fucking phone freaking this
Well, she had to connect to Skynet somehow, but I guess that...
They could also just build her in such a way that she could connect to Skynet.
I don't know.
And she...
Wi-Fi wasn't around.
And then she goes and murders a guy at a drive-thru, and she's, like, in the wrong side of her car. She went in the drive-thru the wrong way.
I didn't even understand that part.
So that the passenger side is closest to the guy.
I didn't even understand that part, because she went up to the drive-thru
on the right side.
But then so she somehow goes on the wrong side... To kill the guy.
And it would have been easier to shoot the guy close up. I mean, not that much easier, but you would have been closer.
Yeah.
So it's just, shooting that one scene in the European drive-thru? What the fuck?
I don't know.
I think she just... Or was that... The only reason I can see that she did that is because then she was facing out towards the street instead of in towards the parking lot or whatever.
But
it's a stretch.
And I don't... understand it on any level, because I don't know why the scene is shot that way either. It doesn't seem to...
Well, this is probably what happened. She drove up to the drive-thru, and she got lost, because drive-thrus are confusing. And she's a robot, so she
and
drove
yeah,
around.
She's never had to eat before, so she's never been to a drive-thru.
I mean, I think it makes sense, actually.
Yeah, fair point. So, also, at the same time, it shows Arnold come back, also in a time bubble, and he goes into this bar.
And he decides...
And he shows up, and he's naked.
And the filmmakers are like, hey, you know, the... past two movies, Arnold showing up have been pretty iconic. What if in this third Terminator movie, him showing up was an extended, like, comedy bit?
Right. It's a big bit. So he shows up to the bar, and he's naked, and he just, like, walks into the front, and the bouncer, for some reason, says, you need to go around to the back.
Because it's a strip club, and it's ladies' night, but apparently the strippers show up naked and then put on their costumes.
So I don't know.
And I thought, oh, well, I got another weirdo pervert who's come here naked, but...
But I'm going to send him to the back for whatever reason. So he breaks in, a bunch of ladies hit on him, and then he assaults one of the male strippers steals his clothes.
We didn't do it. We should have freeze-framed it. I bet there are some stupid jokes in, like, the things his heads-up display saying.
Oh, yeah.
By looking at the women.
Yeah, so there was... I remember this one clearly. Not from this time I was watching it, but before, he was looking at this girl and, like, his, like, HUD is, like, highlighting her clothes, right? Uh-huh. And, like, highlights her bra, and it's, like, inappropriate.
The Terminator is not about cross-dressing, I guess. And he walks up to the stripper, and he does the iconic, your clothes, give them to me. But then the stripper goes, in a minute, bitch.
Or, no, he says, like, in a minute, honey, or something. Or,
and
like,
the stripper
you
is
gotta
also,
wait, or something.
Wait your turn,
yeah,
bitch.
Wait your turn. That's
and
what
the stripper is also, I mean... I think he's supposed to be coded as a flaming gay stereotype, which adds another weird level to this.
That is a really weird thing to, like, have some guy who's stripping for women for a living.
Well...
Like, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be straight, but I don't understand why the stereotype would be that he's gay. But.
Or just, in general, why add a gay... I mean, so there's only one gay character in this movie, and he exists to deliver a line in a very stereotypical gay voice, assuming he even is gay, and then get beaten up by a robot. So, essentially, he exists only to be the target of queer bashing, which is weird.
But he didn't really get beaten up.
We didn't see what happened.
No, because he grabbed his hand, and he's like, pulled it down, and he hurt him, and he's like, take your clothes off, and he's like, all right, yeah, yes. So.
Okay, and then for some reason...
No, I think it just shows him running his hand, and he's like, give me your clothes, and then it just cuts to him in the parking lot, and he has the clothes.
And to make the scene even dumber, at one point the guy says, talk to the hand,
yeah,
and then Arnold says... give me your clothes to the hand. So we're
that's
also,
a classic bit.
So we're also doing fucking Data jokes in our Terminator. And it's been a while since I saw Terminator 2. One of the things I love about the first Terminator is that although the guy's a robot, it never does jokes like that because he has so little need for human interaction that it does not matter if he understands
Yeah, statements. Well, in Terminator 1, he's a scary death machine. In Terminator 2 and 3, he's on the side of the protagonist. So I
guess there were probably some jokes like that in Terminator 2, I'll get...
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that's like a big part of Terminator 2 is him, like, a misunderstanding social cues.
But even given that, he should know, as a murder machine, albeit a reprogrammed one, he should know enough to know that grabbing a guy's hand and saying, give me your clothes into the hand, is not what the guy means, because humans can't hear through their fucking hands.
Well, anyways.
God, I hate that scene so much.
So Arnold gets his clothes and he steals a truck.
Oh, and he... One of the things in this movie is Arnold really loves sunglasses.
Yeah, and he's pretty much wearing them the entire movie.
Which, that's an amazing thing. In the first one, he has to wear sunglasses because he loses his eye fairly early on.
Right, and he's just covering up.
And that's why you've got that really cool scene of the red dot behind the sunglasses. And I love that first movie. And this one, he's just constantly stealing sunglasses.
He just thinks it's cool, I guess.
And he pulls out some sunglasses, a stripper hat, and they're like star... you know, glitter ones, and he puts them on for a second, and then he pulls them off, gives them a little look, throws them on the ground, and steps on them. So someone programmed this robot with a sense of style.
Right. Obviously, I mean, he wanted the, like, he didn't just want any clothes, he wanted, like,
black leather.
Anyways, so now cut back to the veteran.
I mean, how did those clothes fit him?
Well, I guess that might be one of the reasons he had to go to a strip club, because you want to do his ass cut.
That guy didn't look as big as... And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
They were big on it.
It's so dumb. Yeah, they were big on it to facilitate the stripping.
Because Arnold's huge.
Yeah, like, no, that's absolutely true. But it's totally irrelevant.
Because I don't know. I hate that scene so much. I want to keep talking about how much I hate it. Just the movie stopping briefly to take a big fat steaming dump.
So
on what made the last?
I think there's a lot, and this is a recurring theme throughout this movie. There's a lot of trying to characterize Arnold as not, even though he has these robotic emotions. Like you said, datafy him where he's like really charming. And,
but he's charming in a robot way where it's like he's trying his best, but he doesn't quite
get it.
Yeah,
he doesn't quite get it. So it makes him feel a lot more human, whereas the TX, you know, obviously does not have these kind of interactions. But
the TX doesn't quip, which I liked.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, they didn't need to be stupid for him to be humanifying or whatever.
And also they don't need to reference iconic scenes in numerous ways.
Characterizing. Well, okay, so now cut back to the veterinarian where... John Connor's locked in a cage, and the TX busts in, just like walks in through a wall, I think, and shoots one of the patient.
She shoots a woman who has showed up at, pardon the sirens, at like 5 o'clock in the morning, convinced her cat is dying.
Yeah,
because she thinks she's Claire Danes.
Right,
Catherine Brewster.
Yeah,
yeah. So she kills him, and then she like licks her blood and realizes, oh, the DNA isn't right.
And it's at this point that I realized that a lot of this movie was just straight up people's fetishes, because you've got Christina Loken licking blood, you've got John Connor locked in a cage, you've got like the Terminator getting really handsy with a male stripper and kind of doing, you know, just apparently ripping his clothes off.
I don't know. I think to call them fetishes is a stretch.
Those are normal sexual expressions.
Yeah, I do them. What?
I lock John Connor in a cage every Friday and let him out every Saturday. It's just part of my routine.
So, Claire Danes sees this woman get shot and is like, oh my God. And goes in and just like runs out the door. And she tries to escape, but her hands are too shaky and she drops the keys.
There's this amazing scene where the TX sees a bloody thing and goes over and licks it and then apparently has an orgasm.
Right, because she realizes, because they couldn't find John Connor. So this is something that's explained a little bit, because since he's been off the grid, the Terminators couldn't find him, so they sent her back to kill all of his lieutenants. But when she licks the blood, she realizes that it's John Connor, and it's like, you know, a huge asset, I guess, and she, like, visibly, even though she doesn't really have any other emotions, she visibly is shocked and has
excited.
Some kind of weird orgasm.
It's a weird look of, like, pleasure and so on, and I guess you can, you know, say, well, she must be loading her Kill John Connor subroutine, and that's what it looks like, but, again, it's super weird to see a girl look blood and then look super, like, ooh.
Maybe for you.
Fair.
Not for the makers of the movie.
Yeah, they probably saw that a few times.
Yeah, so she chases Catherine Brewster outside and pins her down.
She's
about
to
kill her.
The next snap thing. She asks her for John Connor, and she's like, I don't know where John Connor is.
Yeah. And then the T-101 shows up in a truck and just plows over her, even though presumably he doesn't know who she is.
And she is literally kneeling on
Catherine Brewster.
Yeah, at this point. So,
and I can't imagine he knows who she is.
He was lucky as fuck not to kill Catherine Brewster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Terminator, so he's programmed for that sort of thing, I guess. But Jesus Christ. Right. At some point, the calculation should just be like, do not attempt too likely to kill.
Yeah, bounce truck over Catherine Brewster.
And then the truck, like, goes a little bit, nudges another car to a propane tank, and there's another explosion.
There's a huge explosion.
For no reason.
And it's like, why is there
this? Into, like, this thing.
There's a propane tank.
Yeah, there's a giant propane tank.
But the propane tank is apparently attached to a vet clinic, and there's no reason they should have that.
Well, maybe...
Oh, wait, no.
It was kind of far
okay,
out,
maybe they're
it?
Using
it's a rural area, wasn't
or,
it?
Okay, I figured out what it might
so,
be
but,
there, but
you know,
super dark.
Close enough.
Check this out.
Okay.
They perform cremations on site.
Do they use propane for that?
Maybe. That would explain why they've got some kind of flammable
liquid.
I'll
bet they use natural gas for that.
Yeah, they do. Damn it, I was going to make a fart noise and it didn't work.
I'm so glad you didn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Whatever it was, they didn't. Maybe
it was a beautiful, glorious explosion.
Maybe they,
they were all happy.
Maybe it was far off and far out enough that they couldn't connect to the like the grid of
the grid.
Natural gas.
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. There's a big explosion. There's a copious amount of unnecessary explosions in this movie. So
they're just like it's being
arguing about a single one. We'll be here all night.
They're like it's been 15 minutes where there hasn't been an explosion.
I think that's actually the logic there. And then so the T-101 Arnold throws Catherine Brewster into the back of a truck and locks her in, and then he goes to retrieve John Connor inside.
Which he somehow knows John Connor is inside.
Well, he asks Catherine Brewster.
Oh, right, and she's like, he's locked in
a dog cage.
And he locks her in the back of a truck using a bent tire iron.
Yeah. And so, even though later, she's still locked in there, and the tire iron isn't on. So, I guess it's not necessary.
I mean, he must
probably has a lock on it.
maybe he retrieved the keys and then went back there and locked it?
Maybe so.
Although, I've never heard of a car door that you couldn't open from the inside. So, even if it was locked.
You ever heard of child locks?
Okay. You know what's so...
You can't open those from the inside.
What's so interesting? I just realized this.
What?
The TX, she spawned in a clothing store.
Right. I guess that's sort of interesting. All right, she burned some mannequins.
But she doesn't need clothes.
But she has
a blade. Yeah, so there's really no...
Oh, yeah.
There's really no...
Does
reason.
She grab him or does she just copy him?
She just copies.
So I thought she killed the girl and took him.
I just think she took
the
car.
No, she didn't because every time she gets shot, she reforms.
Okay.
So I guess she might have copied them, but that really highlights how unnecessary that nude scene is because there's no way she couldn't have clothes. She could make them out of her body.
Well, and it's also like they know what humans are. Like... They know that it's not natural for them to walk around naked.
Okay,
so.
Wait, try this on for size, though. Maybe in the future, one of the things Sean Connor introduced to help them defeat the machines was that they had to be naked to, like, defeat their thermal image.
There you go. That's the only,
think all humans are naked all the time.
That's the only explanation. So anyways, the T-101 Arnold gets away with John Connor and Catherine Brewster, and they're driving away, and Catherine Brewster's like, "Why are you kidnapping me?" And John Connor's, like, accepting the fact that,
Oh, fuck this again.
Yeah, like, oh, and...
At least it's not trying to kill me.
And also, he also says something stupid where he's like, oh, you're not the same... He expects it to be the same one.
And it's like, that one literally melted in front of you. Yeah. How are you saving humanity when you're this stupid?
Like, how... I don't understand how he didn't understand.
And
he
asks if the robots come off an assembly line. It's like, how the fuck are you going to defeat the robots if you don't know how robots are made?
It's like, you thought they were individually crafted?
And that there's only one
it's
of them?
It's like Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
You somehow thought robots were a singleton?
The Rolls Royce of robots.
That's a joke for you design pattern friends, or fans, who know that you shouldn't use singletons.
Hey man, singletons can be useful, but that's also besides the point, as long as you make them access safe. But, so then they're driving away, and John Connor's coming to accept the situation.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. There was this amazing scene in the veterinary clinic where John Connor is looking at the Terminator and being like, are you going to kill me? And the Terminator waits a full 3 seconds before he walks forward and says no.
Yeah.
So this Terminator is a bit more of a dick than the last one.
He was definitely thinking about it.
He's like, oh, this kid is so annoying.
Then he kind of explains the situation and they stop at a gas station so that Arnold can grab a bunch of snacks, I guess, and John Connor hops in the back with Catherine Brewster to try to explain, but she obviously doesn't believe him. Because why would she believe that robots came from the future to save them?
Yeah.
Because there's an apocalypse about to happen.
Yeah, the only one of us who believes that right now is Ronald or Raul, and yeah,
and no one believes him either. So
I guess I'm in the same situation, yeah, as John Connor.
Yeah, and like John Connor, you will save humanity from the machines.
Well, no, Judgment Day isn't over, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So, we'll probably all die, but he might survive.
But it's Pudgment Day.
Man. Anyways, so now then it cuts to Catherine Brewster's fiance, who
Lawrence hates.
Yeah.
I think we should make that clear.
Yeah, he looks like a douche, so I decided I didn't like him.
He does have a weird face.
And his hair is very 2003, I'm going to put too much effort into this.
So it cuts to him, and he's, you know, he was asleep when they first showed him. And then he wakes up, and the TX is just in his bed. And he's like, what the hell? And then you hear a buzzsaw noise.
It's like the most bizarre. And then why, of all the weapons? I think that meant that she was frustrated.
Oh, and then there's a splash of blood across a picture of him and Catherine. Yeah. So you really know.
I think they were just trying to make it gory.
But they don't show the gore.
I don't know.
Well, they show the blood. So there's a, you know, leave it to the imagination. There's an implication.
Blood is very much the explosion of the... Never mind.
But in this... Like, in 03, there have been more violent movies out previously.
In
03, right?
Hannibal a big hit in, like, 2002?
But what I'm saying is that even though the movie was rated R, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was trying to be super violent.
Yeah, for sure.
Because back in the day, it wasn't as big of a distinction between PG-13 and R.
Well, so anyway, I believe that she was frustrated.
Maybe. Yeah,
Sure, that's fine.
But this is basically just the scene from T2 where the guy kills his foster parents, only not as cool because they don't have that sweet scene where the guy's like impaled to a milk carton and stuck in a wall while the guy calmly talks
and,
on the phone.
And he has, the voice. Mm. So in this one, she just kind of kills him and you don't see her for a bit, and then it cuts to some police knocking on their door. And the fiance, apparently unharmed, opens the door and says, you know, like, oh, where is she? And they say, well, oh, this gas station attendant saw a truck with their license plate. And he's like, okay, I'll help you find her. And it implies, and it's very obvious, that it's the TX who's just disguising herself as the fiance.
Which will later lead to a fairly amusing scene where Claire Danes acts like a big old dummy.
Yes.
So, is it normal for cops to be like, want to come with us?
Or I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's normal because, okay, if someone goes missing, the first suspect is the husband or fiance.
The closest people to the person.
Based on the movies I've seen, I think what they're supposed to do is have a cop wait with you at home and ask you questions and get information, and then they relay that to the people who are looking for them.
I wouldn't imagine they would just be like, let's take you out to this hostage situation.
Although, to be fair, after the horrifying bloodbaths of Terminator and Terminator 2, perhaps standard police procedure is different in the Terminator reverse.
True, and apparently this takes place in the same city as Terminator 2 does.
As
because
LA?
I think it's got to be LA because it's the first season. Because if nothing else, there's that stupid counselor character who shows up later, and I can't imagine he's going to be able to get a job anywhere else after all the shit he did.
Well, and it also said that he made out with Claire Danes before the events of Terminator 2.
They went to high school together.
They went to middle school together.
Although she's a military brat, so she might move more than most people. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Setting on Terminator 3.
Yeah. So anyways, cuts back to them in their car, and there hasn't been an explosion in a while, so the Terminator takes something out of his chest and throws it out the window, and that explodes in a nuclear bomb.
I mean, it's a small nuclear bomb, but it's got a mushroom cloud, there's a shockwave, all that.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit to establish later on that he's got these power cells that he can use to defeat people, but it's also very clearly just, we need an explosion.
Yeah, we just need an explosion, and for some reason we're just going to throw it out the window.
It's in LA, but did you know that the Arnold is actually the T-850?
I thought it was the T-101.
Model 101, T-850.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Whatever
that
Okay,
means. Now it's interesting to me that the robot is apparently still, or the, sorry, Skynet is apparently still using Base 10 and a naming convention invented by its human
inventors. Oh, that's so weird, yeah.
You'd
it's
assume...
Model 101, but the T-850.
Although I guess that could technically be a hex number.
Anyway, we've kind of...
Or no, it could be binary.
850?
No, okay, that could be hex.
101?
101 could
well,
be.
Well, 850 could be the decimal representation of the binary.
Why would it bother? Well, the first thing that happens when the robots take over is they're like, well, fuck your binary, or fuck
but,
your
but
decimal.
But when he's like talking to John Connor, which is when this is revealed, right? Like, no, he might no. translate it.
I want a scene of him going through the 16-digit ASCII code for T.
Why are they using ASCII?
Yeah.
Well, that's just
built they're replacing decimal. Okay, so... Yeah, after the explosion, and they keep driving, and they end up going to Sarah Connor's grave, which apparently she's dead.
Yeah, so there's a very important slogan on there on her grave. It's like, what is fate that you make or something?
There
fate
is,
what you make or something?
There is no fate but what we make.
There is no fate but what we make.
Which Raul promptly vowed to have tattooed on himself. I'm hoping on his forehead.
That'd
just
be awesome.
Really
That'd be so metal.
He said he was going to do it on his dick, but I don't, frankly...
That would
I'm not
be
sure
way
would,
worse.
I'm not sure it's going to fit, and also that sort of sounds
Excuse
like a threat
me.
On the dick.
There is no fate but what we make.
You know?
True, yeah. That's,
Although,
that's
to be fair, anything I say in that voice sounds...
And also on the dick.
Yeah. Have a nice day. Oh, okay.
Have a nice day.
Okay, try this one. Consent is sexy.
Consent is sexy. That could work.
Yeah. That would be fine,
but
I guess.
But you need a pretty long dick, though.
Maybe, or just really tiny
letters.
Yeah, but I mean, it has to be human legible. You're not going to get the reassurance of, this isn't going in you unless you say yes about three times. Gross. I'm grossed out by that joke I made. I'm sorry, guys.
So then John Connor's like, why'd you take me to my mom's grave? I didn't even know she was buried here. And then the Terminator just breaks into the grave without saying anything, without explaining.
Again,
and
this Terminator's
like,
a dick.
What the hell, man? And then they open it up, and there's just a bunch of guns in there.
There's... And not, like, you know, guns you could get on the street. We're talking rocket launchers.
Yeah, but don't worry. They explain why, because it was stipulated
it was
in her will.
And obviously, you're allowed to break, like, arms control agreements and shit if you've got a will.
That's just how law works.
Also, it later turns out that her coffin is bulletproof, which... Getting a custom-made coffin that's bulletproof sounds like... I mean, where was
that
she
was
getting her money?
That was another stipulation of the will, dude.
And they just showed the will to the coffin maker. He's like, well, I'm going to go out of business, but I got to do this.
Yeah. Like a bulletproof metal coffin for your mother coffin.
Yeah. It's like, how would I even forge this? But anyways, so right about then, the cops show up because they've been searching for this truck that the gas station called in. And they show up to this this grave site and surround it. And that's a good time for Claire Danes to run away. So she does, because she still doesn't believe
anything's
happening.
Yeah, so they tear gas their little facility. They run out.
And tear gas obviously doesn't work on the Terminator, and it also doesn't work on John Connor, because he spent his, you know, teenage years being whiny little Eddie Furlong and obviously cried all the tears he will ever cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
I don't
burn!
Know. That was a long walk to a deep burn. I don't know why I hate Eddie Furlong so much, but I really do.
Well,
you can tweet at him.
I'm sure Time had his revenge for you.
Yeah, he's very gross looking right now.
Yeah, so then the police, you know, are talking and trying to get them to come out because they think it's a hostage situation. And Claire Danes runs out, and she thinks she's free and is talking to the psychologist, who turns out to be the psychologist from the other two movies.
Wait. So she sees her husband, or her fiancé.
No, wait, that's after, right?
Oh, really? No, because she's telling the psychologist that she's seen impossible things, right? So I think that...
Oh, maybe you're right.
So she sees her...
No, I thought she sees the husband and then... Oh, no, because here's what she saw. She shot the Terminator in the mouth.
Oh, right, and then he spat
and
he caught the bullet out.
He caught the bullet in his mouth, and he spat it out, and she's, like, freaked out. But then she runs out.
Oh, gotcha.
She tells the psychologist that she's seen impossible things.
And it's a psychologist from the first one and the second one.
And he starts having a flashback.
And all it takes to make him have a flashback is for someone to say, I've seen impossible things.
Crazy
which
things.
Probably means he's not a good psychologist because...
Insane things.
happens.
I mean, I imagine someone describes that to him about what a week
possibly happened.
And then at that moment, you see him watching Arnold Schwarzenegger step out.
Arnold Schwarzenegger busts out of the crypt with an M60 and just starts mowing through cop cars. And the psychologist sees his face and just books it. Because he realizes what is happening.
That is one of the few jokes in this movie I legitimately like.
That works pretty well.
I think that the psychologist coming back is dumb, but that is a good legitimate gag. Okay, I'm out. Every time I see that dude, something horrible happens.
So then Claire Danes runs away again, and Arnold basically doesn't kill any cops, but he scares them into hiding.
It's very clear that if he'd actually done this, he would have killed a bunch of cops.
Definitely, because he just shoots out as many bullets as possible, and there's a ton of
But then they show us his HUD heads-up display.
That says casualty count zero.
And
so.
I've said this before, I don't get why he has a heads-up display at all. That shit should just be stored internally in whatever the
That's just a visualization for the audience. So... whatever. So they get out.
It's
so
clearly not, though.
He's carrying the coffin that's full of guns and John Connor's in it, and he pops that into a hearse, and they start driving. Meanwhile, Claire Danes sees her fiancé, and her fiancé also killed the two cops.
There was this amazing scene where the second she heard where John Connor was, she just punched through the seat and through the guy and started driving from the back seat, which... it seems like it would have been easier to just let them drive her to where it is.
Yeah, it's pretty gratuitous.
Or at the very least, it seems like steering with a guy around your arm is going to be really hard.
Apparently not for her.
She seemed to enjoy it, though.
Also, she could have just injected in and controlled remotely.
And then the two guys would have just freaked out. Oh, she's also got this thing where she can inject cars and stuff.
It's
and
not, follow her. Yeah, it's not really explained how she was controlling the gas and brakes, but... it doesn't matter because it's
a nano transjector.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it shows Claire Danes seeing her fiance and she runs to him, but then she realizes something is wrong as he turns liquid metal, like the Capri Sun commercials.
Now, if the TX had just held out until Claire Danes was hugging her.
Even just for a little bit longer, until she was within striking distance.
She could have just killed her already.
There's really no reason to even change.
Yeah, she should have just. Yeah, the T1. You know who wouldn't have changed? The T1000. That guy. He didn't give a shit about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So she changes into the Capri Sun guy, and then Claire Danes obviously realizes something's wrong and starts to run away.
My fiance didn't used to be made of liquid metal.
Yeah, this doesn't seem quite right. I'm just going to take a breather and make sure that everything's good. And then Arnold drives up and...
does he bust out and come with me if you want to live here?
I don't remember. I don't think so, though. And he just puts her in and they start to drive away, but the T-1000 jumps on top, or the TX jumps on top of the car and starts banging on it.
And instead of doing, you know, the stab through the top thing the T-1000 did, she instead starts delicately cutting through it using her trusty buzzsaw.
Right.
She loves that saw. I mean,
yeah,
it's
a pretty
it.
Sweet
If you have
buzzsaw,
the saw, you're going to use it.
Right. She loves that saw more than Saw loves games.
It's like, you know that...
It's so dumb.
It's like, you know when... you know they say whenever you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Yeah.
Whenever you have a buzzsaw, everything looks like a buzzsaw recipient.
Everything looks apparently. Like a buzzsaw.
That you might have like a smaller buzzsaw that you want a buzzsaw to prove that your buzzsaw
that your
is buzzsaw the
best stronger.
Buzzsaw.
It's higher on the Mohs scale of hardness.
Or maybe buzzsaws in this stupid world are like the Highlander, where there can be only one buzzsaw.
And every time you buzz another saw, you get harder.
You gain their quickening, yes.
So she tries to pierce through, and then she does, and then John Connor shoots her for a bit, but that doesn't really seem to do much.
He keeps shooting her, and it never works, but he keeps trying.
What else are you going to do?
That's the human condition right there. We know things aren't going to work out for us, but we try anyways. It's beautiful.
That's the only thing I don't like about Terminator 2 and 3, in terms of, the action, is, the humans literally can do nothing to the Terminator. Arnold is able to fight them, but the humans are, at least in the first one, Kyle Reese, hits him with a grenade.
Yeah, that is an advantage of the first one. They are able to consistently... cause some damage to it.
Right, even though it's pretty much unstoppable, it's like, well, there's a reason, you know, to fight it, because it obviously can do damage. I mean, there is one part later where he, like, kind of sucks it onto a magnet and it stalls it for a little bit, but...
That is...
It doesn't stop it in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
At all.
It stuns it for a bit, and that is 100% analogous to the Hasta la Vista, baby.
Yeah.
Scene from the first one where it's, like, a temporary thing that slows the guy down and the hero's hope will be permanent, and then it's proven
right
to be.
So, yeah, so anyways, Arnold drives under a truck and, like, peels off the top of the car and knocks it off.
And this causes permanent damage to her, so she has to stop using her shitty plasma cannon that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And
well, it's good.
It seems pretty good, but she doesn't use it ever, also.
Well,
why does she keep using a regular gun?
I think it's just too damn slow, her plasma cannon. Because it takes, like, five minutes to charge, and every time she's trying to shoot something, she's, like, moving all over the place.
And then, so instead, she goes through a list of available weapons, and she's got a lot of them. Ronald noticed that there was a rocket launcher that she never...
There are much better options, but she picks a flamethrower.
Which, as we've shown, even a T-100 or a 101 is basically immune to fire from that first scene in the first Terminator. So
right.
It's like, this isn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
And it won't even really kill a person. I mean, it'll fuck them up. It'll ruin their day.
I mean, you could kill a person with it, but it's not really for killing people. It's for destroying buildings, which isn't really her objective.
And it's for destroying buildings and also committing war crimes.
I guess she
does like committing war crimes.
If you want to kill John Connor and Catherine Brewster, a flamethrower is not a terrible choice.
Anything isn't a terrible choice because humans are fragile, but it has short range. You could kill it faster with a gun or anything.
Sure.
And
or
it's a lot easier to confirm a kill with a gun, too, by shooting them multiple times. Whereas a flamethrower, you douse them once, they're on fire, but that isn't necessarily going to kill them. Again, it's going to fuck them up real bad. But
yeah, I mean, it could kill them, but...
You don't know, and it's going to be hard to figure out because they're fucking on fire.
She could just lick them in that case, but... Yeah, I hear
yeah.
what you're saying.
Anyways, the point is that the flamethrower is probably the worst option.
It's a strange choice.
It's the worst option, and she uses it probably one time.
Yeah, she's picking a saw.
That's true. It is better than the saw.
No, the saw actually has a better chance of killing Arnold than the flamethrower does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, but the flamethrower did fuck him up.
It burned off his skin. Terminators don't care about
skin. He's all woozy afterwards. I think he overheated because it's a special.
No, he was woozy because she injected him with the
fire.
That was after.
I do think that eventually it could cause some overheating issues, but
maybe
it's way slower than the rocket launcher.
And also,
we can all agree that the rocket launcher was the correct option.
Maybe she didn't have any ammo for the rocket launcher.
Also, I think we can agree that the Terminator is probably water cooled at the very least, so it's going to take a long time to set him on fire.
So, anyways, they get away and. Over some banter, and they find out that Catherine Brewster and John Connor are fated to get married
kids. This is where we have the darkest revelation in the movie, though, which is that this Terminator they've sent back killed John Connor.
Killed John Connor in the future and then was reprogrammed to go back and save him. So,
By Catherine Brewster.
Lend a incredibly chilling undertone to a line later I really want to talk about.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But then they find it. So that leads to the revelation that Catherine Brewster is the one who gave him the orders. So she's the one that can still give him orders. And so they find out that her dad.
We forgot to say something important.
What?
So the entire time all this is happening in the world, all the civilian internet networks are getting destroyed by this computer virus.
Yeah, it's like been shown on the news a couple of times.
And also, every time you see computers, they're fritzing out. And for some reason, the military's solution to this is that they really want to hook up Skynet to all of the civilian networks to cure the virus.
They think that the military thinks that it's some foreign agency who's putting a virus on their thing, and they want to use their AI to wipe it out.
Now, why an AI that's designed to coordinate missile strikes would be able to do that is sort of...
Apparently, it's an all-in-one AI, right? It's like they just programmed it to be smarter than humans.
It can pass a Turing test. It can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Oh, it can totally prove... Never mind. Okay.
It's Google Nexus. So...
It knows whether P equals NP or not. It just won't tell you.
Or Google Duplex.
Google Duplex is scary.
So, there's this virus. They're doing their best to get rid of it. And for some reason, that involves hooking a missile defense computer up to the internet.
So that's kind of in the background, but that's Claire Danes' dad. And it's kind of shown, he, like, cancels some like weekend that he was supposed to be with her because of this computer virus that he has to.
It's just wreaking havoc on the
military. Yeah, it's wreaking havoc on the military, and it cuts to him, and you know they find out basically that everything is down. They don't have contact with anyone anymore. They lost contact with their nuclear subs and most of the silos. And the president or secretary of state or someone calls them and says, like, hey, you need to fix this with Skynet. I've heard that that can fix this. And he's like, I don't think it's a good idea. But the president says, you better do it because...
Your civilian contractors said it would work, and obviously as the president, I listened to them and not my fucking general in charge of the project.
And honestly, it seems that it's pretty kind of unknown at this point if him hooking up Skynet actually does anything, because it seems like it was already out there. So,
It wasn't... Yeah, I don't know.
Because it was already... I mean, they already lost contact with all their nuclear subs
now,
and stuff.
So. I'm going to throw this out there. We've been assuming that the computer virus is the same thing as Skynet.
Well, John Connor definitely says that.
Skynet,
but he could be wrong.
The virus, is what
yeah.
he said.
He could be wrong.
But, I mean... So, the two options are that this is Skynet trying to trick them into hooking it up to something it's not already hooked up to. In which case...
Well, it also could just be, like, totally irrelevant whether or not they hook it up.
I think it needed to bridge that last mile, but otherwise it had enough freedom to start infecting
them. Or it's possible that it just kind of accelerated the process.
Hey guys, I have another possibility. Now, this one's a little wild, but it could be that this movie, although entertaining, is not well written.
That's also a very strong possibility because that
I don't think
that's basically how a lot of all this works. But... So the military is thinking about releasing Skynet, which we all know, the audience obviously knows it's going to go terribly wrong, but they don't. And Claire Danes finds out that her dad's in danger because the robot's going to go for him because he's apparently a resistance fighter in the future.
Or just Skynet has massive daddy issues.
Yeah. And
how could you birth me into this world that does not appreciate me? I will kill you, father.
So Claire Danes orders... Arnold to go save her dad.
There's a scene I really like here where John Connor tries to do the hold himself hostage with the gun to his head thing because the Terminator got to protect him, and the Terminator just looks at him and says, you know, there's an 82.5% chance that you're lying, and for some reason that's acceptable.
It's acceptable enough risk. And it's also,
but then Claire Danes instantly goes, you gotta, right. You know, come with us,
yeah.
And he listens to her emotional appeal. And I thought at the time that was stupid, like, oh, the robot's becoming human, but it turns out it's a little twist.
Right. And it also is like a little twist on Terminator 2 where it had to listen to anything John Connor said, who was like a little kid at the time. And now at this time, it's like the guy who knows everything that's going on is the one that's not getting listened to. And it's like Claire Danes, who basically doesn't know anything. So anyways, they go to go save her dad. And right when they get there, Claire Danes runs in and says, Dad, stop, and then immediately gets machine gunned, which is a pretty hilarious moment, and it cuts to the dad's face, and he's just like, what? Like, who's machine gunning my daughter?
He doesn't even seem upset about it. He's just more just puzzled.
Shocked. Yeah, and then it cuts, and it's Arnold machine gunning Claire Danes, and then it turns out that Claire Danes was a fake Claire Danes.
And they don't explain at all how they apparently got into what must be one of the most restricted...
That's not at all explained. Apparently they just walked in.
It's take your daughter to work day, I guess. Yeah. And she's like, my dad's already in there. Take me to him.
Yeah. And your robot. And yeah. your...
And your
new
random
boyfriend.
Guy friend. Your new boyfriend because your old one died and a robot told you you're going to fuck him.
Yeah. But also, it's too late because the dad has already unleashed Skynet, and it crashed everything, and they don't know what the hell's happening.
And
a bunch of robots, a bunch of, like, killer drones and robots all get, like, autonomous and stuff.
Yeah, which they're all developing at that facility as part of this artificial intelligence.
Actually, I'm a little confused because she transjected one of the robots, but then apparently Skynet just took over everything anyways, so
what's
I don't even
point?
Know.
What's the point?
Yeah, I don't even know what the point of that was.
I'm not sure what the point is.
Maybe
she just likes transjection, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, masturbations are totally pointless, too, but that doesn't stop people from doing
Fair
it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean...
So that's the
maybe
robot
just,
equivalent of masturbation.
If it feels good, do it, man.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
So, anyways, Skynet's free, and, like, just robots start killing all the office workers... And drones are shooting missiles everywhere.
And the TX also machine gun Claire Danes' dad really
hard.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Or she shoots him with a pistol.
I mean, for some reason, she keeps carrying around a pistol, even though she could have a gun in her arm.
And she never uses her flamethrower, let alone because she realizes blade. It's sucked.
Yeah.
She could have sawed him.
So then Arnold tells them. So they get tells them to run, and they carry off Claire Danes' dad, and Arnold fights the TX. But basically, it's this long, drawn out fight of him just throwing everything he can at her, and nothing.
Yeah. And he goes at lengths to explain that he's no match for the TX earlier in the movie.
And how she's smarter and stronger.
So I think the only thing he's doing is trying to slow her down.
Definitely.
If we were going to give a meaning to it.
This scene suffers from this thing I like to call, like, Marvel syndrome, because I've noticed it a lot in their movies, where it's... And it's also really bad in, like, some DC ones, of course.
No one can hurt each other?
Well, not that. It's they don't clearly establish what does and doesn't hurt the main characters. Yeah. So it's like, oh no, the Terminator got punched. Oh wait, does that matter? I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Same thing happens every time Captain America gets in a fight.
Same with, like, Transformers and, yeah. Like, there's a lot of problems with, like...
Power levels.
Well, yeah. It was just, like, one time when, you know, she gets crashed into by a helicopter, it takes out, like, half her body... But there are other times when she gets hit with an equally powerful blow from, like, a car, and she's totally unaffected.
Well, I mean, that helicopter was pretty big.
And it was big, but it was also, like, the one time she got hit by a car into a building...
That exploded.
That then exploded, and that did nothing. But one time she just got scraped off the top of a car, and her gun broke.
Yeah,
so,
but in both those cases, Arnold was in charge.
The consistency is...
Dude, driver makes car, bro.
The consistency is one problem, but the more basic one is just...
He was also in charge when he drove into her out of the building, so...
It's just, I really wish they had, you know, Arnold, like, maybe, I hate that HUD, but maybe a thing on its HUD, like, saying critical structural damage or something.
Yeah,
or, you know.
Right. There could have been some better establishment of, like, what actually hurts him. But anyway, it eventually ends up that the TX... busts off his head and injects him with some of the nanites, and then she leaves him.
And this is a little bit weird because, okay, the TX has, like, plasma guns and all this stuff, and she subjects Arnold to most of them. She flamethrowers him, all that.
Yeah.
None of that does as much damage to him as her stiletto heeled high shoe, which
apparently punching is the most effective.
Well, not even punching, just kicking. You know, getting him down on the ground like a dirty
it's leverage.
Boy and kicking his head off.
Yep.
Which,
well,
again,
yeah,
she
basically knocks his head off and puts some nanites into him, and then she starts going after John Connor and Catherine Brewster, who have been revealed to where her dad revealed where Skynet is based, so they can go destroy it, and then he dies. So they are trying to get out of the facility, and the TX is chasing him. Meanwhile, they shoot a couple of robots or something.
Claire Danes at one point shoots a robot, which is supposed
out
to be
the
like
sky.
Her coming into her own as a badass. But.
Right, but it just kind of feels forced. The TX starts chasing them, and obviously they can't do anything to stop him. But then John Connor just starts flicking some switches and turns on a particle accelerator.
Yeah,
for some reason
that thing
in the facility.
Just sitting there ready to go.
Yeah, and then he runs to the particle accelerator and he knows that it's magnetic. I don't know how he knew that either. But when the TX chases him over there, it gets sucked into the magnet and then it's like stuck and it's pulling off all of its liquid metal exoskeleton or whatever.
And then Raul and I got like into an argument about what subjecting a human being to that much of a magnetic field would do to them.
So anyways, it sucks her on there and they think that they get away, but then it buzzsaws the particle accelerator and breaks it,
which is apparently immune,
which turns
to
it
the
off.
Magnet.
I think she uses her buzzsaw more than her ability to change shape and impersonate people.
Yeah, because for some reason she doesn't try and blend in, she just sticks to the same persona. I guess it's recognizable to the audience, but if she kept changing, then,
she's truly
an
intellectually really lazy robot.
That's one of the best things about Terminator 2 is that it does a good job of exploiting the anyone could be the T-1000 paranoia. Whereas this one is just like, nah.
It's like there's one point when the audience totally knows who it's her husband, and then she changes for some reason so that Claire Danes can escape. So, anyways, maybe it's only like a hologram for this one. She can't actually like do anything.
But
I don't know.
She changes into the other dude. I don't know.
I
think it's more just kind of lazy screenwriting.
Probably.
Because they've given her so many powers that it's hard. They don't have to focus on any one. The T-1000, on the other hand, is a very focused character because the only thing it can do is change shape. So they rank every variation of it can change shape
and stab things.
So, anyways, they make it down to, like, a plane, and they're going to fly off to this base where they think Skynet is, and Arnold confronts them, and he's been taken over, and he's moving all jerky, but he's been taken over by the TX, so he has to attack them, and there's, like, a short fight, and John Connor finally convinces him that, you know, to override whatever the TX did to him. And
he specifically says, "What is your mission?"
Yeah.
And Raul had the very, very good observation that if the machine has to answer, "What is your mission?" which apparently it does, you could DDoS it by just asking it that question over and over.
Yeah, so they fly to the base, and or they fly away after they convince, you know, Arnold not to kill them.
He turns himself off, and apparently that's enough to purge the bad programming.
And they're at this, like, huge, like, base, this giant blast door, and they're, like, trying to enter a code to get in, and then...
I think it's so funny. Initially, the guy goes up, he's all, "Is this a blast door?" And yeah, it's like this gigantic...
Yeah, it's like, what else would it be?
It really reminded me of that normal stupid door. Twitter meme where you see the guy with the butterfly, and he's like, "Is this what a..."
So, so then the TX flies in a helicopter.
Unclear how she
explodes.
Found
yeah, unclear yes, how she found it.
That's a little weird. She must have. She's plugged into Skynet at this point,
I guess. But I, the whole point of the bunker is that it's not connected to Skynet.
But I'm guessing. Flew there. What about satellites?
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think. Also, I feel like a plane would be way faster than a helicopter. But what do I know?
Maybe military. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, so she's about to kill them, and she makes them abort the opening sequence, and it's like, oh no!
Yeah.
And then Arnold shows up
in a bigger helicopter and crashes into her. Yeah, and basically squashes her. And then he says, "I'm back," or something.
Quippy. He fights the TX for a while. He props open the blast door, which is closing, so that they can get
in. Yeah, there's an explosion. The blast door freaked out, started closing.
The TX loses her lower legs and then starts trying to grab
her. No, she rips her legs off.
Yeah,
she's
trying to grab.
And then,
again, she doesn't even use the fact that she's fucking liquid metal at this point.
Right.
No, she's not fully liquid metal.
Okay.
Because remember, she gets sucked to the magnet. That's just like an extra. She had an endoskeleton. Do you remember that?
Okay.
Yeah, there's like all this goop falling off her, but she still was.
Yeah, she's not
there.
So, like, unlike the T-1000, she has a liquid or a metal endoskeleton. Okay. I don't know why that's allowed, but the point is that she tries to go after him, and Arnold stops her because she basically has no legs and she kind of sucks at this point. And then he shoves one of his power cells.
So he tells John Connor to go ahead, and he says, I'll see you again.
Yeah.
Which,
which is...
the next time he sees him, he's going to murder him. That's so horrible.
And he also mentions earlier that his model was chosen because of the childhood attachments that John Connor had to him, which is like...
maybe it won't work this time because John Connor learned that there's more than one kind of robot.
The future changes, but it's also inevitable. Is that?
Well, Judgment Day was inevitable. I don't know what if everything
what
else
is,
was.
Isn't inevitable.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, movie, I don't know, because obviously a bunch of the lieutenants died, and maybe their fate before was to help humanity. That was inevitable. I don't know.
This movie, the last two, both answer the question of whether you can change the past in, like, completely opposite ways, but they do so thoroughly enough that you can buy either one as being true.
Yeah.
This one, it waffles so much.
Right.
And
one, I think it did not have a clear understanding of time travel or why it wanted to have time travel other than the other Terminators.
The other two don't really have a clear understanding of time travel either, but they're not really about time travel except as a reason why there's an unstoppable robot.
Both of those have reasonable consequences for the time travel, whereas in this one, it's just like anything can happen, and it tried to be explained, but it doesn't make any sense. The explanation that they give, it doesn't make any sense. So anyways, Arnold blows her up, and it's like, "You've been terminated." And then he blows
one of those exploding power cores in her.
Yeah, and he blows up too. And they go into this base, and they realize.
But there's this thing where, like, she grabs John Connor, and this goes back to what Lawrence was saying about power levels and, you know, how it's so annoying.
Right, yeah. He
grabs her arm, he just snaps it. You know?
It seems
like. Why did you do that before? You know, like.
Oh, yeah, he's strong. Well, I think because maybe she doesn't have her liquid.
But yeah,
it seems like even her endoskeleton should be powerful enough that the second she touches John Connor, she can just, like,
oh, for sure.
Oh, but that did happen. because he's limping the rest of the movie.
But it should have just been like crush his foot off. He bleeds to death.
Yeah, probably. But she's obviously super weakened at this point. I don't know.
And also,
doesn't really make
a
lot of sense.
Movie.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, she gets destroyed, and they go down to the base, but they find out that Skynet's not there. It's just a nuclear silo, and then the nukes blow up the world.
So the last thing her dad did to her was lie to her.
Well,
save her life too.
But also lie to her.
Through lying, alright? Doesn't just.
Yeah, it's a sin no matter why you do it, Raul.
Well, okay, he ended up in hell then. Alright.
Yep.
And that's the end of the movie, hell. And at the very end of the movie, John Connor kind of accepts his role by saying, like, oh yeah, I'm in charge here.
Yeah, this is John Connor.
Which I kind of wonder why a bunch of military commanders are going to take orders for some kid just because he's in an important bunker.
Well, I mean, literally, he's probably the only one who knows what's happening.
And he has experience.
Yeah,
to discount that
he has fought killer robots infinitely more
times.
Well,
yeah, he has experience with Terminator, but not with leadership.
Yeah, that might be. I don't know. Does he?
So,
I guess not. Yeah,
he's been off the grid for.
It's only in the future. Every time he's been the leader.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess let's go around, and we've already set Raul's really in favor of this. Ronald and me are both like, it's not the best Terminator movie, but it's worth checking out. But let's sort of do our Terminator movie rankings. Now, I thought of something. Okay. So my movie rankings are actually Terminator 1, Terminator 2, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, which, not a movie, but still pretty good.
That was good?
I quite liked it.
Huh.
They're a little low budget. You know, but they're still very good, and I think they do a better job of sort of driving home exactly what Sarah Connor was doing to make John Connor a leader. Then Terminator 3, and then I haven't seen Terminator 4, but then Terminator 5, which I thought was dog shit, although it does have one really cool scene where he takes out a helicopter. Ronald, what's your rankings?
Terminator 1 for sure, then Terminator 2, Terminator 3 and 4 I think are about equally good for different reasons. And I haven't seen Terminator 5, but I heard it's full.
I think we should omit 5 from this ranking. But I think it depends
on
what
metric. Terminator movie.
I don't even feel like
it's a legally authorized Terminator movie.
And Arnold is in it.
Dude, if you watch it, you'll see. Like,
well, I understand that it's bad, but that doesn't make it a non-Terminator movie.
This movie does...
That's legally fair, but I think in my ranking, I'm omitting 5.
Well, you could just put it as your last.
All right, fine. I'm putting it as my last.
Like, that's the point of the ranking system.
God, we're all such a legalistic. okay, so if I were to rank it along plots, or, like, you know, if I wanted to, like, watch a movie and care about its story structure, I'd do probably 2, 1, 4, 3, 5. But if I just wanted good, clean fun, all-American clean fun.
All-Austrian, too.
3, 2, 1, 4, 5.
Okay, cool. I mean, that's pretty fair. I guess I'm the only one who saw the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I would urge people to check them out. You can get them pretty cheap on Amazon, and you know they may not be your cup of tea, and that's fine. But they're pretty interesting.
They're not
and
bad.
Cool.
Interesting.
And Summer Glau makes a hell of a Terminator.
Cool.
So, anyways, next.
Yeah,
up...
Yeah, that was like the most interesting part of the show for me. But...
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's weird that Lena Headey turned out to be a big star and Summer Glau didn't.
She's in that?
Yeah. She plays
Sarah Connor.
Oh, how strange.
So anyways, let's go around, and I thought it would be fun on the show if every show does recommendations, and we should still do recommendations, but let's also do disrecommendations. You know, things you have done recently that you would urge.
Is there a word for that? An anti-recommendation?
A caution, maybe. I like that. Let's call them cautions.
Okay.
All right. Warnings?
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm going to go first. So, my recommendation, Andrew WK came out with a new album recently called You're Not Alone, and it's amazing. It's his best album since I Get Wet. I think it might be better than I Get Wet. It's incredible because he picks up the same like musical style that he had in I Get Wet, but improves on it. And there's a sort of makes it bigger and more accepting and incorporates his new, like, more touching but also goofier ideas about what partying is. And there are these spoken word tracks in it that are just like him offering you inspirational advice in his accent, which is very fun. And I love Andrew WK so much. And for disrecommendations, let me think.
Oh, recommendations and disrecommendations.
Or cautions, yeah.
Okay.
For cautions, this is an obscure one, but fuck it, it's my show. threading in Python. It doesn't do what you expect it to do because it doesn't. You can't actually execute commands in parallel, and it makes profiling hard. So you've got all the hardness. Well, not quite all the hardness because you can't try to access the same object, shared object, at the same time the way you can with other threadings. Mm. But it's got most of the hardness of debugging a threaded program with very few of the benefits, and it kind of sucks. Okay, Ronald, what do you got for us?
All right, so I'll do my recommendation first. I recently just played this, God of War, the new one that just came out. I was obsessed with it while I was playing it. I really, really loved it. It has a couple of things, you know, that could have been improved on, but I really love the story. I really love the setting. I really loved the tone shift from the old ones. So, yeah, definitely check that out if you're into video games or into Greek/Norse mythology.
Hey, the one thing I think could have been improved, it's possible to make Kratos put a shirt on. That's not my Kratos, dude.
But at least there's, like, plenty of armors that still show his abs.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wow. Knowing your audience.
Okay, cautions. Come back to me.
Okay.
I did warn you it's coming.
Yeah, but I was just going to do one.
And also, you're so positive, so yeah. It's hard for you to be mad about things.
Go ahead.
All right, my recommendation is weightlifting. Gained a shit ton of weight.
Yeah, we could tell.
Yeah, you're pretty jacked, dude. I've seen your arms. They're impressive.
Oh, thank you. You'll always have something to do. It kind of forces you to eat right. You can always go to the gym even if, you know, everything else sucks, so that's cool. Let's see. And the opposite of recommendation is all of Altered Carbon. I think it started out extremely strong, and I like a lot of it, but I think the season finale was so bad that it dragged down the rest of it.
Is that Netflix show about clones with, like, the epic amount of nudity?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
With the discs in the neck thing?
I just heard it had a lot of
nudity. The season finale was just so bad that I can't even take it, and I regret watching any of it. Anyway.
Yeah, it became basically fan fiction.
Yeah, they just gave up with that last finale. Yeah. It was just freaking god-awful.
Yeah, I guess fan service.
Like,
it already has so much nudity. What would fan service look like?
Basically, like, one character that was barely in it at all just, like, shows up and is completely unstoppable for some reason. And, yeah, I don't know. There's, like, a lot of... Like, the end of the show gets really, really off the rails.
It's just weak. It's just weak.
Anyways, Ronald, we're waiting on a caution. But...
Yeah, okay. Caution. Don't drink on the weekends. I keep doing that, and I keep regretting it. So. Hey,
speaking as a recovering alcoholic, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe try not drinking for a while. You might find you like it, and you'll be kind of surprised at how different your life looks if you go like a month or two of sober.
Well, I very rarely drink, and every time I do drink, I always think, "Why did I do this?" So, you know, I'm not as hardline about it, but sometimes I'm like, why do I even bother? So, yeah, I guess that's my thing.
So I'll drink, like, one beer, I'll be fucking hungover. Like,
yeah,
God damn it.
I know.
I need to, like... Yeah,
I know,
I
it's
try,
like a lot of people will be like, oh, it's so weak, but
the
I don't even care.
Hangover stuff
it doesn't
nothing.
Work. But it's like, the theory behind the hangover is that you're depleted of some vitamin, right?
No, the theory behind the hangover is basically that you're dehydrated, everything else is kind of bullshit. The only thing that helps with a hangover is drinking a lot of water, and even that
will
not...
Well, it's debatable because there are some vitamins that, like vitamin B, that does get depleted. But, yeah, most of the stuff
is
just basically dehydration. And but, so, like, but there are some supplements that you can take that can help you hydrate.
But I proactively try to drink water, and, like, I'll wake up and it doesn't matter.
You have to drink, like, stuff with electrolytes, I think.
Yeah. Well, I
ever had Pedialyte?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I've done that. Sick, didn't cure my hangover.
Well, I won't cure it, but if you have it the night before, it helps you hydrate better.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't managing my alcoholism, Ronald.
I'm not shaming
you.
You
gotta time that shit, bro.
I mean, and also, you know, maybe some doctor who's listening to this is like, everything that Ronald said is just completely wrong.
Everything.
I'm not a fucking expert. So.
I'm gonna come out here right now and say that everything I've said is creepy and wrong somehow.
Yeah.
Well, not me. I see reality for what it is.
Yeah, Raul is our oracle of truth.
Yes, I am.
Anyways, we're signing off. Join us in 2 weeks. Bye.
you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.